And please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the messages that you have spoken. We also thank you for the examples that you have given us in your people. Examples that are good, examples that we can follow, as well as examples, Lord, of sinfulness from which we should stay away. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at your word this morning, that you would open our hearts to it. We pray, Lord, that we would listen receptively. And we pray, Lord, that you would change us from within. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to begin a series of messages that's going to carry us for a little while here. And it's a series titled Lessons from a King, okay? Now, each one of these messages is going to be based upon the life of King David, someone with whom I think most of you are pretty familiar. And if you aren't familiar with him already, you will be by the time we are done with this. But we're going to be spending 6 weeks looking at his life and what God can teach us through David. And this morning, we're going to be starting at the very beginning when David was quite young. Now, at this point in history, Saul was the king of Israel. However, after a good start to his reign, he'd become prideful and he'd become arrogant. He turned away from the Lord and he refused to live in obedience to the Lord. And for this reason, God rejected him as king. God spoke to Saul through the prophet Samuel, telling him that he would tear the kingdom away from him and that he would give it to another. And this is where David comes into the picture. After his rejection of King Saul, God told Samuel to go to a man named Jesse who lived in Bethlehem. And he was to do so because one of his sons had been chosen by the Lord to be the next king of Israel. So Samuel went to Bethlehem, he held a sacrifice, and he invited Jesse to come along with his family. And when he arrived, Samuel saw one of Jesse's sons named Eliab and thought that he must be the one that God had chosen. His stature and his appearance just made him stand out to Samuel as one who would make a good leader. However, God spoke to Samuel, saying to him in verse 7, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So Jesse had 7 of his sons appear before Samuel, but God had not chosen any one of these young men. So Samuel then asked Jesse if he had any other sons. And Jesse said, "Well, yes, I do have one more, the youngest. He is out taking care of the sheep." And so Samuel instructed Jesse to send for him and said they would not begin the sacrifice until he had arrived. Now, when David arrived, Samuel saw that he was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Now, ruddy, that's not a word I use every day. It means reddish. It means glowing. It implies that he was a healthy-looking young man. And Samuel was told to anoint him, for this is the one that God had chosen. So when Samuel first looked at Jesse's sons, he was looking for someone with a certain appearance, wasn't he? He was looking for somebody who was tall. He was looking for somebody who possessed about him a noble look. But we find in this account that none of this is what matters to God. One of the big things that stands out to us is that, you know, God, he didn't care what the king looked like. All he desired was a king who would be devoted to him, who would follow him wholeheartedly. He said that he does not look at the same things at which man looks. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. Instead, he looks at the inside. He looks instead at the heart. And as I reflected upon this truth this week, it just got me asking myself, how often do we do the same thing as Samuel? How often do we look at people, and how often do we judge people based on their outward appearance? After all, if a great prophet of God could make a mistake like this one, how often do you and I do the very same? And it's an important question because we live in a society where everybody is judged by the way that he looks. We live in a society that tells us that we have to look a certain way if we are to fit in with everybody else. We're bombarded with images, and we think that we have to live up to them. We see these images where, you know, women are told they have to be super skinny, they have to be glamorous. Men are told that they need to be fairly skinny with these ripped, bulging muscles, right? And we're also told that we must dress a certain way. We're told that we must style our hair a certain way. We even see today that skin color is an issue, right? And this is something that's been all over the news lately. The alt-right, the skinheads, the neo-Nazis, whatever you choose to call them, they've been on the news. And it's amazing to believe that in today's world, people would judge others based simply upon the color of their skin, that they would discriminate upon others because of the color of their skin. And this is something that happens not only here in the United States, not only in this context that you see up here on the screen, but also in other parts of the world as well. It was something that the group of us who went to India experienced last month. Now, even though it violates the laws of their nation, their society still operates based upon the caste system. And because we are Americans and because we are white, it's generally believed that we belong to the highest caste. And for this reason, the people treated us with deference simply because of where we come from and simply because of the color of our skin. And that's something that I think it's true for all of the group, but it made me very uncomfortable. I've also seen many studies over the years that tell us that since TV became widespread in the United States, the appearance of our presidential candidates greatly affects those who are elected. I've read that taller candidates tend to get more votes than shorter ones. I've read that better-looking candidates tend to get more votes than, I guess we have to say, uglier ones, huh? And this is true because everybody, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you can see the candidates before the election. They're on the news every single day. They're in the newspapers every single day. And because of this sinfulness that is within our hearts, we tend to judge people based upon their outward appearance. And we often do this without even realizing it. Back in the 90s, and you know, back the election with Bill Clinton, the first election with him, I actually remember hearing several women say that they voted for him because they thought he was a good-looking man. Now, I'm not sure how his looks qualify him to be a president, but this is often how we think. These women didn't really care about his stance on the issues. They didn't even pay attention to what was being said. They cared about what he looked like. Now, even though as we think through these examples, you might be sitting there thinking that this is wrong, and it is wrong. This is something we must realize that it happens fairly often in the church today as well. And I remember one time that I did this. I'm sure I've done it more than once, but this is just a good example. And it happened when I first began attending the church where I ended up interning in Minnesota. Now, as I began attending worship at that church, and it was a small church, it was a little mission congregation, but I met several younger people. Now, one of the first people I met was an attractive young lady in her mid-20s. She was dressed very nice. She was very friendly and outgoing. She participated in the worship service. She came to church every week. She came to our young adults Bible study for a long time. And at that same time, I also met a guy who was in his mid-20s. And he walked into church wearing ripped jeans and old work boots. He had on a tie-dyed shirt with an unbuttoned flannel over the top of it. He was slightly balding up front, but he had hair that hung down to about the middle of his back. And he also had one of those big long beards that hung down to about the middle of his chest. He was heavy set. He kind of looked like a hippie version of Willie from Duck Dynasty. I think that's his doppelganger. He was loud and outspoken. He was oftentimes a little bit crude in the way that he spoke and the way that he joked. Now, this is obviously not them, but I want to give you just a little comparison. Just imagine two people similar to this, okay? Now, my first impression of these two people was probably similar to what yours would be if they walked into church here. I assume the girl was probably a pretty godly girl. I assumed that the guy was somebody who had just started coming to church, maybe somebody who didn't know the Lord or had just come to know him. But as I served that congregation for a while, I came to learn that my assumptions were way off on both of them. After serving the church for a while, I found out that the girl was not very godly at all. I found out that even though she did come to church and Bible study on a regular basis, she drank very heavily every single weekend. Just about every weekend, she went home with a different guy from the bar. She was also somebody that if, you know, not even saying they were addressed to her, but if she heard these behaviors addressed as sinful, she would get very upset and very defensive. And she was somebody who ended up leaving the church after it became public that she had moved in with a guy that she had just met at the bar a couple weeks prior. Now, the guy, I was way off on him as well. Because again, after attending the church for a while, I found that even though he was a little bit rough around the edges, he was a guy who genuinely loved the Lord. He was at church every week. He read his Bible and prayed every single day. He was also a tremendous evangelist who talked about the Lord constantly. He didn't have a great education, so he kind of bounced from low-paying job to low-paying job, but everywhere he went, he talked to people about the Lord. And he was every single week bringing new people to church and bringing new people to Bible study. And I would say that at that period of time, he was responsible for almost all of the growth that our church experienced. And while I was there, he was also made one of the elders of the church. It's easy for us, isn't it, to make false judgments like these. I remember a disagreement that I had with a man in one of my prior congregations, not where I served, but where I attended. And we disagreed because he was constantly criticizing people. He was constantly criticizing those who came to church, especially dressed casually. And he was of the opinion that if you properly reverence God, if you properly respected God, then you would come to church dressed your best. And so this is what he assumed about those who came to church dressed nicely. But again, he assumed the opposite about those who came dressed in jeans and tennis shoes. He automatically assumed that they didn't love the Lord, and he assumed that they had no respect for God whatsoever. And I once talked with him, and I shared with him that, you know what? Many of those who come to church dress their best, they have hearts that are far from the Lord. Many of these people, they do so because it's what's expected of them. Many of them do so because they are putting on a show for other people, trying to convince people that they are better than they really are. And I also told him that many of those who come dressed casually have hearts that are fully devoted to the Lord. I told him just what we're talking about today. God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the heart. But this guy was right. I say that tongue in cheek, and he just dismissed me and told me that I was wrong. But we make all kinds of judgments about people. Many of us, we would shy away from a guy who walked in with long hair and earrings, right? Many of us would shy away from one of the biker types who walked in with leather and tattoos all over them. Many of us would shy away from people of another race or culture who walked in to worship with us. Based on their appearance, we make assumptions about them. We make assumptions based or assumptions about their personality, their beliefs, and their life. And many of us make these judgments without looking at their heart and without realizing that this is exactly what God is looking at. Now, our lesson for this morning, it does tell us that David was a good-looking young man. But as I mentioned, this isn't what mattered to God. God wasn't concerned with whether he was handsome or ugly. God wasn't concerned with whether he looked like a king or not. He was simply concerned that the next king had a heart for him. And David did possess a heart like this. As you may remember from Scripture, David is referred to as a man after God's own heart. And as you read throughout the history of Israel, you will find that David is held up as a positive example, as an example of faithfulness. We see that every king that reigned after David was compared against him, was compared against his heart for the Lord. Now, King Saul, on the other hand, he was a man who looked like a king. We read in Scripture that he was a head taller than everybody else, but his heart was not devoted to God. In fact, his heart drifted so far away from the Lord that the Spirit of God left him. Appearances can be deceiving, but it's the heart that matters. And for this reason, as we look upon one another, we must be more concerned with the heart of other people rather than their appearance. Instead of judging people based upon the way that they look, we should look upon the attitude of their heart. And no, we can't always see that clearly, but if we watch people, if we get to know them, and if we pay attention to them, we begin to see it. We should look at their heart, we should look at their faith. Because again, this is what's important, and of course it's by faith that they're going to receive the mercy of God, not by what they look like on the outside. In 2 Samuel 6, we see another case where David was judged by his appearance instead of his heart. The context is a little bit different here, but this time it was his wife who was critical of him. That never happens, does it? No. But David, he had been determined to bring the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem, and it was finally happening. And he was excited. And so while the priest carried the ark, David danced before the Lord with all of his might, wearing a linen ephod. And then we read about his wife, and we see that when she saw this, his wife named Michal, she despised him. And when he came home, she gave him a tongue lashing. She said this to him, "How the king of Israel has honored himself today, uncovering himself before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So she thought that David had behaved indecently. She thought he wasn't dressed as a king should be dressed. In fact, she thought his behavior was vulgar. She thought his behavior was undignified. But no matter what she thought, David's heart was in the right place. No matter what she thought, David had a heart of worship, and David responded to his wife saying this, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. And I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. But by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." So David made it clear that his dancing was not for her, his dancing was not for anybody else, he was dancing for the Lord. It was before God he was celebrating. And he would do so no matter what she thought of him. If she thought that this display was despicable, he would do things that are even more despicable to her. Yet he also had confidence that even though she despised him, even though she thought so poorly of him, the people would see his heart and they would honor him for it. So not only was she corrected by David, but because she judged him so harshly, she was also punished by God. We are told that she was unable to have children until the day of her death. And so David's first wife, the wife who should have been the one to bear David's successor to the throne, was left barren. So like David, we also must not concern ourselves with the way we are judged by other people. Because again, they're going to look at our outward appearance, right? And we must not worry about that. We must instead trust in the Lord and live in our faith on a daily basis. And we must strive to honor God in everything that we say and that we do. You see, not only do we judge others based upon their outward appearance, but we are typically pretty consumed with the way that we appear to other people, aren't we? We worry ourselves over what they think of us. We worry ourselves about how they might judge us. And so we become more concerned about having the right look than we are about possessing the right faith. We're more concerned with appearing religious and righteous before others than we are about our relationship with God. We also have a tendency to be very self-critical. We have a tendency to judge ourselves based upon our outward appearance. If we come off looking good, well, we think our faith and our relationship with God is strong. But if we come off looking bad, we start to question our standing before God. But instead of focusing on our outward appearance, we would also do better to, like David, focus upon our heart. We would do much better spending time in the Word of God. We would do much better spending time in confession and repentance. We would do much better asking God to have mercy upon us. We would do much better thanking God for Jesus, thanking Him for His sacrifice, and trusting in Him. We would do much better taking up our cross and following Him. If God is looking at the inside, if He is looking at the heart, then this is what we should focus upon as well. Now, just to make sure we don't take this too far, okay, I want to offer this one little rabbit trail here. Because I'm not suggesting that outward appearances don't matter at all, okay? I'm not trying to suggest that the way we dress is completely unimportant. I'm not trying to say that we can wear whatever we want and it's okay with God. We have to remember that in 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, women dress modestly, right? Dress with decency and propriety. And now, this means that they shouldn't dress in a way that's revealing. It means they should dress in a self-controlled, in a bashful sort of way. And I believe this principle is true for men as well as for women, but we seem to have more trouble with it on the female side than on the masculine side. I've even seen people come to church, women come to church in very short skirts and tight clothes, leaving nothing at all to the imagination. In one church I served, it was one of our worship leaders. We had this problem with her. She was an attractive young woman. She had a tendency to wear very short mini skirts. And so when she would sit up on the altar behind the baby grand piano, it was just all there for everybody to see. And I remember a couple of older men, men who were happily married, they came up to me one Sunday because they picked up on this before I did. And they said, "Pastor, we're happily married, but it's hard for us not to focus on her legs and everything else when it's right there in front of our face during the worship service." And they were exactly right. I also remember my home pastor talking about a woman in his church doing the same thing. She used to sit in the front row of the church wearing very short skirts, and he said, "Just imagine, I'm up there trying to lead worship and preach, and I'm having trouble keeping my eyes off of her." This isn't inappropriate only for church, but just for life in general. We do need to pay attention to that sort of thing. But again, that being said, when God led Samuel to anoint David as the next king, he says that he doesn't look at the outward appearance. He doesn't look at the things at which man looks. He looks at the heart. We also see that David took this truth to heart in his own life. When he danced before the Lord, we see that he was not concerned about his appearance. His only concern was his praise and his worship of God. And in the same way, we must not focus on how people appear outwardly. We must not concern ourselves with our own outward appearance. We must instead focus upon the heart, our heart and the hearts of those around us. Our focus must be upon our faith. And this must be our focus because it's this that is important to God. And it's this that enables us to receive the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do again thank you for your servant David. And although we realize that he was a sinner just like the rest of us, we thank you for the positive example of faith that he displayed. And we pray, Lord, that you would cultivate, that you would build up this same faith within each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for the many times and the many ways in which we judge people, the many ways in which we look not upon their heart, but simply how they look on the outside. Have mercy upon us for our failure. Forgive us also for just consuming ourselves with how we look to others instead of focusing upon our hearts and our faith. Work within us, Lord. Help us to understand what's truly important. Build us up in this faith. And may we, Lord, like you and like David, concern ourselves with the heart. And we ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen.